Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
So many people in this world are striving to recover from addictions, from past abusive situations, and even from the consequences of bad decisions. Does this describe you or someone that you love? Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Dr. Paul Chappell, Recovery with God. Stay with us. So many people in our world are in the process of recovery. So many of us have been hurt. So many of us have made bad decisions that have led to difficult and painful, long-lasting consequences. So many of us have faced abusive situations where somebody in our past did something or even continually did something that dramatically impacted our lives. And yet others are struggling with substance abuse, like alcohol or drugs. Well, maybe someone you know is dealing with one of these things. Whatever the need, recovery, authentic, lasting, life-changing recovery from the inside out, truly does begin with God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the preaching, the teaching, the encouragement of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series presently is entitled Recovery with God. This is an entire series of messages that help take a life from the very beginning of life with God through a process of restoration and growth and true, lasting, authentic life change. I'll tell you in a moment how you can download this entire series and maybe give it to a friend, or you can listen to recent broadcasts if you're coming into the middle of the program. We would love for this series to touch your life in a very special way. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to this program via a podcast. You can listen to recent programs or download them and listen to them later. You could pass it along to a friend. There are many other resources on the website that will encourage you in your Christian life and in your walk with the Lord. And there's also a way that you can be a part of the ministry of Daily in the Word. Would you prayerfully consider a monthly contribution to help us cover the costs of airtime and supporting this ministry? Your investment is an investment into the Word of God going into the hearts and lives of people all across the country and even in many foreign countries. Take a moment and visit Daily in the Word and consider joining us in the effort of teaching and preaching the Word of God. Well, now we're going to turn to the Word of God and begin the second message in our series. It's entitled Recognizing Our Need for God. It really starts there, realizing that what we're dealing with is bigger than us, and it's beyond our ability. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. Here is Paul Chappell.
Now before us this morning is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. An honest testimony, of course, as the Holy Spirit inspired him to write these words. And he said, sometimes the things I'm supposed to do, I don't do. And sometimes the things I'm not supposed to do, I do those things. And he's telling us that there's a struggle between the Holy Spirit and the flesh. And he even asks a question in verse 24, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will give me victory in these areas of my life? And he answers his own question when he says, the Lord Jesus Christ will give me victory. And I trust that today, those who sometimes feel like, how can I get victory over this problem or that problem, will learn that in Christ we are more than conquerors. And let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, we thank you for the scripture reading. We pray that you would take the word of God this morning and touch every heart here. And for those that are without Christ, that they would open their heart to Christ and be saved. For those who know Christ, that they would find your grace to help in times of need. And Lord, we'll thank you for speaking to our hearts, for we pray and ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I heard recently of a daddy who was trying to get some rest on a Sunday afternoon, and he laid there in bed trying to stretch out, trying to catch some Z's, and as he was trying to fall asleep, his son would come in, and just a little fella, and he'd jump up on the bed and want to play and kind of wake his dad up, and his dad would sort of shoo him away a little bit, and the little boy would come back a little later, and finally, the little boy just kept persisting and persisting to the point that the dad was just reaching his point of exasperation, and right about that moment, he looked over to the side, and he saw that Sunday paper, and on the front of it was a globe of the world. And he took that paper and he ripped it up into about 50 pieces. And he said, "Son, this is a puzzle. And I want you to take it in the other room and put it together. And then let me know when you get it done." And the dad thought, "Surely that'll buy me an hour or two's rest, you know." But about 15 minutes later, back the little fella came in. He bounded up on the bed and boy, he had that thing all put together just right. And the dad said, "How in the world did you get that done?" He said, "Dad, it was really easy." He said, "On the other side of the world, there was a person. And he said, when I got my person put together, my world looked just fine." And what we want to talk about for the next 8 weeks is how to get our person put together with the Lord's help so that our world will look just fine. You know, I find a lot of Christians today, and especially those without the Lord, their world is troubled. They're troubled with their husband, and they're troubled with their wife, and they're troubled with their church, and they're troubled with their job. And it seems like everywhere they go, there's trouble and there's a problem. And while we often are prone to look at the problems of the world, we seldom will look inside with the help of the Word of God and say, "Lord, what do you want to change in my life today?" You see, the truth of the matter is that millions of Christians have yet to appropriate God's grace in their own life to solve and remedy many of the hurts and trials that they have faced. Some, in fact, instead of turning to God, have turned to very destructive patterns in their lives. They have turned to patterns of rage and anger. They have turned to alcohol and substance abuse, trying somehow to cope with the internal pain and conflict that they are facing. Now, every day in our lives, we see evidence of the fact that people are not properly coping with their problems. We see evidence of the fact that we live in a world that does not recognize its need for God, that does not turn to God for help, but instead holds things in and represses anger until finally, boom, the problem comes. Last Monday, for example, in Santee, California, a young man filled with problems and remorse and from a broken home and from a family life where he was allowed to spend much time with the wrong forms of entertainment, a young man with many internal problems, a young man who had apparently never had the opportunity to learn what we're going to learn in the next few weeks, went to his school with a gun. And the gun was not the main problem. The main problem was unresolved conflict in a young man's heart. But he took that gun and he took the lives of two of his fellow students. I think all of us would agree this morning that there are many, many cases every day in our lives where we see people who need the help of God. But I want to take it a step further this morning and submit to you that every one of us need the messages we're about to hear for these next several weeks. May we be very careful in our minds that we would not say, "Well, I hope somebody struggling with alcohol really gets help today. I hope one of those guys in this auditorium with the problem with anger gets help today. I hope that lady who's never dealt with the hurt and the loss and the anguish that she experienced with loved ones passing away, I hope that she gets help from these messages today. I hope that the guy who's got trouble with his inability to control his spending, I hope he gets help today." May we not think that these messages are for someone else, but may we recognize that all of us have areas of our lives that the devil would like to raise up and use against us But God would like, through His grace, to build us into the person we need to be. Now, may we recognize today that there are people in this room who have yet to overcome and who have yet to properly appropriate God's grace to trials such as alcoholism, such as abuse, such as the hurt of divorce. A recent book written on the unexpected legacy of divorce discusses much of the trauma that has hit America that is affecting marriages today because of the trauma that was experienced through divorce. Some today are compulsive spenders, and some are compulsive gamblers, and some are trapped by the wicked hold of pornography. Some are trapped in their grief today, while others struggle from the hurts they have felt in relationships of this life. Every one of us need to recognize that the way we respond to many situations in life is directly related to how we have or have not appropriated God's grace and God's word to those problems. I heard about a dad that was walking along the ocean with his little 3-year-old son. And like many of us, when we were about 3 years old, we were always being reminded of things we could have done differently, always in trouble. This little fellow was walking along with his dad, and they were looking out on the ocean and the blue water, and then they turned around and they looked at all the sand, and the dad said to the little boy, he said, "Son, I want to ask you something. Where did all this sand come from?" And the little boy thought about it for a minute. He said, "I don't know, Dad, but don't blame me. I didn't put it there." You know, there's a lot of people in this life that carry such guilt and such anger that you can ask a relatively normal question. You can preach a basic Bible message and the response is somewhat hostile because they are viewing their life through the lens of their problems yet to be resolved. And so I repeat, all of us, if we were honest today, need to recognize our need for God. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 18. And remember, this is the Apostle speaking, chosen by God Himself to be the Apostle, born out of due time, called to Christ on the road to Damascus. And he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Paul says that sometimes in his life, he willed to do something that was right, but he didn't know how to get that done. There was an internal battle waging in him. You know, I find that sometimes people say to me things like this, "You know, Pastor Chapel, I don't mean to be that way. I don't mean to say these things. I don't mean to find myself involved in this bad habit. I really wish I wasn't the type of person that I sometimes am." And so this morning, despite those kinds of feelings, fears, and failures, we're going to take a journey of faith that I trust will help many of us to learn God's plan for recovery over the feelings that are in hearts right now this morning. Now let's notice this first of all today. Why we don't recognize our need for God. You know, it just seems obvious to many of us. You know, here we serve a loving God. We know Him as our personal Savior. And we see a world in the throes of sin. I think it's a fair question. Why don't more people come to God for help? Why don't more people open up the Word of God? A little more of a complex question is, why don't Christians, people who say they know Christ as their Savior, people who say they believe the Bible is the Word of God, why don't Christians come to God to find help in their time of need? And I think there are two basic answers to that question. I believe the first reason that we do not come to God with our trials, with those feelings of guilt and resentment, is because of pride, because of our pride. You see, pride is at the base of all sins, and pride causes us to think that we can handle everything on our own. Proverbs 11 and verse 2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." You see, someone who has been shamed and has been involved in a wicked lifestyle, if they add to that lifestyle pride, they're going to say something like this: "I can handle my own problems. I can take care of everything my own way." And rather than turning to God, they turn back to the god of self. Proverbs 16:18 says this: "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Wise is the husband. Wise is the wife. Wise is the person today who says, "Lord, I need your help. I recognize my need for you. I can't handle these emotions. I can't handle this hurt on my own. Now, many times our pride will cause us to try to play God and solve all of our own problems. You know, we're going to work a little harder. We're going to work our way through this one. I'll never let that bother me again. And we try to work our way through in the realm of pride. And thus, we do not recognize what God can do for our life. The second reason we do not recognize our need for God is denial. It's denial. Now, those who involve themselves in pride will ultimately come to a place where they begin to deny that the problem ever existed. Have you ever met somebody like that? I don't have a problem with this. I don't have a problem with that. Their pride has turned itself into denial. Their coping with problems has turned into denying that there even is a problem. I suppose I've met dozens of men struggling with alcoholism, drunken at the time, who would never admit that they have a problem with alcohol. Sometimes families deny that they've ever had a problem as a family. Sometimes we say silly little things like this. We'll say to our family, let's pretend that that didn't happen. Let's pretend that you didn't hear that. Sometimes we'll make excuses for what we do. Well, I drink this because my wife makes me mad, or I eat this much because my husband makes me so angry. Or sometimes we'll hear statements like this. Well, you know, he really doesn't drink that much. She really doesn't drink that much. Now, the fact of the matter is that when we're making these types of statements, sometimes we're denying the reality of a problem. Now, I want you to see what denial does to a life very quickly in your notes. First of all, denial disables our feelings. And the reason it disables our feelings is because we're hiding them. We're repressing them until they explode at a later date. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind," or pride, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." And listen to this phrase, "who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness," which means wicked living, "to work all uncleanness with greediness." God's word says that there are some folks who get so involved in sin, and they are now so involved in denying their sin, that they can get past feeling about their sin, where they used to feel bad when they struck at someone, where they used to feel bad when they involved themselves in abusive, wicked activity. Now they are past feeling. They are in denial, and denial disables our ability to feel the conviction of sin. Secondly, denial is energy lost. When we're in denial, we are losing energy. Now someone says, why do you state that as a part of your definition of denial? Because, friend, when someone is denying the existence of sin, shame, or hurt, they are literally placing themselves into the position of experiencing anxiety. They are repressing something, it is not resolved, and so there's a nervousness that develops because of denial. Psalm 146 and verse 7 says, "Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners." God wants to free us from our sin. I was in a Christian bookstore years ago, and I walked in and I saw what they called Christian rock. I personally do not believe Christian rock is pleasing to the Lord. It's either Christian or it's rock, but I don't like the interchanging of the two. And I saw a particular record cover that had a group, and they were in leather and chains and makeup, and it was allegedly, again, a Christian group. And I thought to myself, I would never buy that for my children, because I want them to know the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ, when you really know Him, His truth will set you free. He loosens you. He doesn't take you back to Dungeons and Dragons and chains and leather. He sets you free from all of that. And that's what Jesus does. He lets us free. But when someone's in denial, they're in that leather and chains mode. They're losing energy, and they're not loosed. But the Lord wants to loose us today. So it disables our feelings. It takes our energy away. Thirdly, denial negates growth. Now, we cannot grow in recovery until we step out of denial and into the truth. As I said a moment ago, it is the truth that will set us free. And so denial negates our ability to grow, because when you're acting like there is no problem, you can't get out and solve that problem. And then notice fourthly, denial isolates us from God. Denial isolates us from God because we're rationalizing away the problem rather than opening ourselves up to God. Now, would you turn in your Bible to Genesis for a moment, chapter 3? And some of these verses are in your notes, but turn back to Genesis chapter 3 for a moment. And I want you to see what it says beginning in verse number 11. Verse number 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. This is when God comes to Adam and Eve in the garden. And I think that we can say this is a great illustration of what denial is all about and what happens when people are denying their problem. Genesis 3:8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is that in that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Now let's think about this for a moment. Here we have Adam and Eve. They have taken of the tree which was forbidden of them. God comes down to see them. Now we see them over here in the forest of denial, hiding from God. And they're denying the fact that they have sinned. They're hiding from their sin. And not only that, they're blaming others for their sin.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, presently delivering a series entitled Recovery Together with God. We're discovering how to truly, authentically recover, to heal from past abuse, from difficult decisions and the consequences that we're experiencing, or from addictions. Whatever your struggle, or whatever the struggle of someone you love, this series is a tremendous resource. You can find the entire series at dailyintheword.org. You can download it. You can pass it along to a friend. You can even subscribe to the podcast. I do hope you'll visit dailyintheword.org. You know, we love to hear from our listeners, and your investment, your partnership with us financially into this ministry helps us continue paying for airtime on this station and on stations all over the country. We thank the Lord for the privilege of teaching and preaching the Word of God in your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us? Pastor Chappell has just written a new book. It is a powerful book and a tremendous companion to our present series. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Discovering the Power of the Holy Spirit-Filled Life, a life that is empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Living Beyond Your Capacity is a 200-page paperback book, brand new, right off the press. We've just had it a couple of months. We've been excited to place it into your hands, and we believe it will be life-changing. And we would like to send it to you this month for a gift of any amount to Daily in the Word. If you'll call us, or if you'll go on the website, dailyintheword.org, and click on the Donate tab, we would like to send you this book, Living Beyond Your Capacity, as our gift for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Again, you can do this at dailyintheword.org, or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. This book will change your life, or change the life of the person you give it to, I promise. Living Beyond Your Capacity will be a read that you'll never forget. So call us or visit the website and be a part of this ministry, and let us send you Living Beyond Your Capacity. Before we wrap up our program today, here's a word from Pastor Chappell.
I trust the broadcast and the lessons from Daily in the Word are a blessing in your life on a daily basis. And I'd like to take a moment to encourage you as a listener and friend of the Daily in the Word broadcast to consider making a donation to Daily in the Word. We are thrilled that God has allowed us to spread the broadcast across the nation on various stations, but we always appreciate the encouragement and support of faithful friends like you. Would you take a moment sometime today and perhaps remember us by donating online at dailyintheword.org?
just find the tab that says Donate. Or perhaps you'd rather write a check and mail to Lancaster, California, a gift through Daily in the Word Ministries. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. Thank you for remembering us as we share the Word of God daily with you.
Well, thank you, Pastor and friend. Don't forget, we're heading to Alaska, August 2011, for our ministry cruise to Alaska. It is an adventure you will never forget. We would love to have you join us on this 7 days of exciting adventure and spiritual growth and tremendous Christian fellowship. You'll find more information at dailyintheword.org. Just click on the Alaska Cruise button. You'll see all of the information there. It is a week that you will never forget. I hope you'll join with us and go to Alaska in August of 2011. Again, for more information about our ministry or to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.